Today I'll be presenting on the current state of syringe exchange programs in the United States. I would specifically like to acknowledge the funding from AMFAR and the Elton John AIDS Foundation and the Irene Diamond Foundation. And I specifically want to note my co-authors, Vivian Gardino, Kamir Ariste, Courtney McKnight, Judith Milliken, and David Purchase of the North American Syringe Exchange Network. Okay. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I am actually trying to figure out how in the world you would ever develop financial conflicts if you work in the field of HIV prevention for drug users. In terms of background, HIV incidence among injecting drug users has declined by approximately 80% between the late 1980s and the most recent data for the mid-2000s. This is the only adult category that has shown anything close to this magnitude of reduction in incidence. HIV prevention for injecting drug users and for prevention of mother-to-child transmission have been the two real big success stories for HIV prevention in the United States. But despite that overall decline, IDUs do continue to represent a substantial proportion of persons with new HIV diagnoses, about 15% of the new infections in 2006. And the best estimate is that more than half of those new infections are probably sexual transmissions. This 87,000, looking at approximately 1.3 million injecting drug users in the United States, we're down to about 1% per year, 1 to 1.5% per year for HIV incidence among injecting drug users in the U.S. Okay. We conduct national surveys of syringe exchange program directors. In the 2008 survey, there were 184 syringe exchange programs contacted. 67% of them submitted completed surveys by the early summer. For the 2009 survey, we contacted 201 SEPs in the first quarter of 2010. 74% responded. When we contacted them in 2010, we asked about their program operations in 2009, so that the surveys look at what the programs did in the prior year. This slide basically shows the history of syringe exchange in the United States from the mid-1990s when there were 68 known programs and about 88% participated in our survey. That has gone up to about 200 programs and 74% participating. The number of cities with syringe exchange programs is now over 100. With 33 states and the District of Columbia having syringe exchange programs. We're now up to 33 million syringes exchanged per year. The total budget is over 21 million. The next row shows that the budgets in adjusted figures that it, if you use constant dollars, we've more than doubled the amount of funds going into syringe exchange programs over the last 15 years. And then one particularly important fact that 80% of current funding for syringe exchange programs is public funding coming from state and local governments. And if you currently live in a state or a city, you know that you're government is probably experiencing extreme budget problems. For example, California has reduced its funding for HIV prevention by about 80%. So that our syringe exchange programs are clearly dependent upon state and local government funding. which is in severe crisis. Because we had a few more programs reporting in 2009, we looked at programs that participated in both years, although they didn't. There was some missing data for 2009 operations. You can see that when we look at these consistent reporters, there is an increase in the syringes distributed and an increase in the syringes collected. The budgets actually among these programs that participated in both years, there was actually a very modest decline in their total budgets, so that they're clearly putting more resources into syringes. In the 2009 survey, we asked what was happening with their budgets. About a sixth of the programs reported increased budgets compared to the previous year. Over a third reported decreased budgets, 40% reporting about the same, and 10 programs didn't answer. Okay. It's important to realize that syringe exchange in the U.S. is not one for one. Almost three quarters of the programs report some variation, including startup packs, giving a minimum, simply distributing syringes without necessarily collecting. The syringe exchange programs also encourage secondary exchange, over 90% of them. This means that people come in and they get syringes not only for their own personal use, but also for the use of their friends and other drug users. And there are a variety of ways in which the programs encourage secondary exchange. The programs also conduct a large number of other services on site, HIV counseling and testing, hepatitis C counseling and testing, so that they're providing a wide variety of health and social services in addition to basic syringe exchange. They also do STD screening, tuberculosis, and substance abuse referrals. They are, however, encountering problems. In particular, almost 70% report a lack of resources and funding in 2009. This was before the budget cuts at the state and local level had fully taken effect. As you probably know, the federal government last year approved federal funding of syringe exchange programs, so we looked at what the programs anticipated with respect to federal funding. A little over 40% thought they would be eligible for federal funding, but an equal number did not know. The federal guidelines for funding of syringe exchange have not been fully developed, so that don't know is a very good answer. About half of them expected to apply, but only about 20% actually expected to receive federal funds. We asked them what they would do if they did receive federal funds. About 20% reported that they would simply maintain present services, that they would use federal funds to offset loss of funds from other sources. About 40% said that they would expand their present services, and about 15% said that they would add new services. So we're now in a situation where syringe exchange and prevention of HIV transmission for IDUs is clearly one of the major success stories for HIV in the United States. Much of that has come through syringe exchange funded by state and local governments. The state and local governments are under severe financial pressure. We have an opportunity for federal funds, but those funds have not yet worked their way through the system. And of course, with the new Congress, there is the possibility that federal funds will not be continued. Thank you.